Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Amen. You may be seated. Go to Psalm 105. Go to Psalm 105 and hold your place there, Psalm 105. And I want to talk to you about something, a phrase that God dropped in my heart, which is, it is for my good. It is for your good what God is going to bring to your life today. But a lot of times when we hear the phrase, it is for your good, we tend to kind of say like, no, not really. A lot of times when somebody says it's for your good, it's because it is, you know, some vegetable that you don't want to eat. Oh, it is for your good. It's some kind of medication that you're not into. It is for your good. It is some kind of aspect of your life where something is not right. And so you say, oh, it's going to be for your good. So we tend to kind of brace when we hear the phrase, it is for your good. But I want you to know that God always intends good for us. No matter what situation, no matter what we're going through, God always intends good for us. And it's important for us to know that, because otherwise we can get frustrated in the things that happen in life. And every person in this place, every person listening from a distance, every person has in their own life either a God-given dream or vision that they want to accomplish. As a matter of fact, the Word of God will call it a personal promised land. And every person has that. God deposits it in you, this thing in you. It could be ministry, it could be a business, it could be the way you lead your family, whatever it may be. There's a dream built in you, and so you want to obtain that because you feel it inside. But I want you to know something, that from the dream to the fulfillment, there is a road called testing. From the dream to the fulfillment, there is a road called testing. And a lot of times people tend to give up on the road from their dream to their fulfillment because they're unwilling to go through the process of testing. But I want you to know today that testing is for your good. Testing is for your good, and you have to kind of say it to yourself, because otherwise you will get frustrated when you are being tested in many areas and from different aspects by God. And it is so crucial for us to know that, because I want to obtain that which God promises to me. We've all seen the stickers on our clothing, socks, shirts, or different equipment. It's called the quality, or the QC sticker. And it's called for quality control. And every time we see that sticker, this is what the company's trying to do. This company started doing this in order to improve customer satisfaction. And the idea of the sticker is telling you that somebody took the time before he left the factory to double check everything. This clothing, double check the seams, double check there was no staining, that it came out the way you intended, that you get in a product that you're intending to get as the company promises you will get. I want you to know something, that in life, there's also a QC control over us. And God is the best QC controller there is. He is checking the quality of his product all the time. And he's not looking to discard you. I want you to understand that. God is not checking to get rid of you, because he doesn't do that. Unless we read in the Old Testament, before the grace of God came as manifested, that God was saying, hey, you are not doing this according to my direction. But he was doing it because he wanted to make sure that the product he says that he could put forth was being operated correctly. And that's the same thing he wants to do for us. He wants to quality control our life. Not because he dislikes it, but because it's good for us. Here's what Proverbs says. Proverbs 17:3 says, the refining pot is for the silver and the furnace for the gold. I love that. There is a method for every element. I'll repeat that. There is a method for every element. Not everyone is going to be tested in the same manner or in the same way or by the same things. But everyone will be tested. So Proverbs says, refining the pot is for silver and furnace for the gold. But the Lord tests the what, church? The hearts. So his job is to test our hearts. His job is to test where we're at internally as we're pursuing a God-given vision or dreams in every area of our lives. Because otherwise, our heart can get out of order in many things. And in Psalm 105, it's so amazing. King David wrote this. It's also found in the book of Chronicles. And so he brings out this idea as he's sharing these thoughts. This is a kind of a final prayer that David is writing of the history of Israel. And so he starts writing about this beautiful thing. In Psalm 105, there's this chunk of verses that is amazing. First, I'm going to give you this one verse, and then we'll read the entire idea. And the idea is that King David is writing about this man named Joseph, one of the patriarchs of the children of Israel. And so he's writing about Joseph, and he's saying, look what happened to Joseph. If you don't know the story of Joseph, where have you been? Come on. The story of Joseph is very interesting. It's very famous. There's movies, there's cartoons. It's one of those kind of match up there with Moses and big stories of the Bible. So Joseph is this young man that God gives him this big, big dream. Just like you, just like me. We have this vision we believe is a God-given thing that we have inside of us. It could be about a business, family, whatever venture God placed in your heart. It could be about the church. It could be a full-time minister in terms of serving the church. We're always full-time ministers in every area of our lives. Are you with me today? And so it's so incredible that Joseph gets his calling. The problem is Joseph receives his calling as a young man, and he doesn't know how to manage his calling, so he starts telling everybody. He goes on the Facebook of his time, and he tells his family and everybody around that would hear him. But the problem with that is that people became jealous because Joseph is saying, I'm gonna be the big guy of our family. I'm gonna be the guy who graduates from college, not you dummies. I'm gonna do it first, right? Now that's the Paul Gondo version, 19, whatever. He's just saying all these things and people get frustrated. And then Joseph goes through some testing, not because of he did anything wrong. He received an amazing vision. If you were to receive an amazing vision, you would wanna tell everybody. But there's a way to manage the process from the vision to fulfillment. We have to go through the road of testing. And one of those things is how we handle and manage a God-given vision for our life. Are you with me tonight? So David writes this in Psalm 105, and he says in the Amplified, I love this, it says, until the time of his word, meaning the word that Joseph received from God regarding his brothers and how he was going to govern the family and the state, came true. Watch this. The word of the Lord tested and refined him. The word of the Lord tested and refined him. Once again, the word of the Lord is what tested and refined him. I'll say it this way. Testing is not a punishment, but it is refinement. Testing is not a punishment, but it is refinement. And until we get that into our souls, that testing is not a punishment. It's not that God wants to hit you, push you, wants to make it difficult, but he is refining you for a greater purpose. You may miss what God is actually doing in your life because testing is going to be important for you to obtain what God has promised for you. But the thing I want you to have tonight is that I don't want you to feel depressed, frustrated. Pastor, you're talking about testing. Oh my gosh, I came here to get encouraged. I'm actually telling you that I am encouraging you today that if you're going through testing, you're actually on the way to fulfillment. You're actually on the way to fulfillment. And because we're so accustomed to not suffering, we tend to assume that because we are, then we're on the wrong road. And it might be, I mean, the Bible does say that, I believe Peter says it, that if you're being punished because you're a knucklehead, you brought that on yourself. But if it's for justice's sake, if it's for things that are righteous, said, leave that to the Lord, he'll take care of you. He'll take care of it, he'll process you, he'll help you lead through the process in whatever you're going through. So let's read together Psalm 105. I'm gonna read in the New Living Translation, whatever version you have with you today. Psalm 105, 17 through 22. I encourage you to read the entire Psalm 105, it's amazing. But let's read this portion about Joseph. It says, then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, meaning God did this, sent ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as slave. The testing of Joseph begins in a way that is absolutely crazy. He gets a dream from God, and he is sold by his brothers into slavery. And if you didn't know this portion of the story, Joseph's dream began in a way that is so profoundly difficult. And many of you guys, I want to encourage you today, many of you guys know these stories from the Word of God that are here today, but I want you to transform your thought and not just assume the story as you know it. I want you to put yourself in Joseph's shoes, that you get a business idea that you believe is from God, and you tell your brother and you tell your sister, and they get so jealous of you that they find a way to sell you as a slave. You need to understand what is happening to this kid, because at this point, he's just a kid. That is the ultimate betrayal. But the Bible says that he sent Joseph to Egypt. See, whatever you're going through, it is not about what you're going through. It is not about what you're going through. And it is so crucial for us to know that. God's speaking to you. You can clap. It's okay. Let him speak to you. Verse 18. Then they bruise his feet, look at this, with fetters. Place his neck in an iron collar. Man, who wants family like this? Verse 19, until the time came to fulfillment of his dreams, the Lord tested, not his brothers, not his mom and dad, not Pharaoh, the Lord tested Joseph's character. The larger your vision, the greater the testing. The larger your vision, the greater the testing. So you ought to know that. Some of you might say, Pastor, my vision is really large because I'm going through it right now. It might be. And so it says that God was the one testing, verse 20. Then Pharaoh, and watch this, because God is so brilliant. God is using Pharaoh, the king of another nation. Pharaoh sent for him and setting free the ruler of the nation, opened his prison door. Verse 21, Joseph was put in charge of all king's household. He became ruler over all the king's possessions. This guy is going through it, and all of a sudden he is a ruler of everything, of the most powerful human on earth at the time. Yeah. And what a lot of times happens, and I'm gonna say something, I push buttons here. What times happens is when we read the story of Joseph, we're enamored with becoming the big thing. Yeah, I wanna be a Joseph because I wanna manage all kinds of stuff. And God is saying, that's not the lesson. That is not the lesson. The lesson is that he managed great stuff. The lesson is that he made it to the end to be able to manage great stuff. And we're going to talk about how you and I can survive the road. Because if he wouldn't have made it through that road, he would have never managed what God had for him. He would have never made it to the dream that God had for him. And this is where a lot of people tend to walk away from God. They give their hearts to the Lord, things get hard, and then they take off. God is saying, wait, we're still on the road. We're not even at the place yet. This is so crucial. Have you ever had a fight with your wife or date on the way to a really good dinner? Don't laugh too hard. Some of you are like, can't laugh, Pastor. She's sitting next to me. I'm staring straight, not looking around. Right? Like, you're on your way. Like, dinner's going to be good. Like, chill out. What is happening right now? We've been there. If you're married, you've been there. We're like, okay, we got to cool down because we want to enjoy something else. What are we doing here? And so this is what's happening in life, that a lot of people are on the way to something great, and whatever dumb thing comes in your life changes the course of your direction and your thought and your process. Verse 22 says, he could instruct king's aides, and he pleased and teach, and he was pleased to teach the king's advisor. Another version says that he gave them wisdom. And so you can read the rest of the story. And here's a few things that God put in my heart for us tonight. And I'll go through them real quick. Here's a few things. Number one is this, that all great dreams have difficulties. All great dreams have difficulty. I don't care who you are. If you have a great dream in your heart, you ought to know that something difficult is going to develop as you process this idea. But a lot of times, because in our Western society, especially in America, there's nothing wrong with it because we're a prosperous nation by the hand of God and by the hand of laborious society that God has made it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We sometimes get used to the fact that we want to soften the blow of problems. And a lot of times, that's not the case. The case is prosperity comes as we deal with the stuff that comes with it. It's so important. The Proverbs says this, Pastor Deborah says it all the time, right? If you want a great, if you have a farm, if you have a stable, you're also going to have poop. That's part of the process. That's Proverbs. It's not my version. That's what Proverbs says. And so a lot of times we have to deal with some stuff as we're on the road to what God has placed in our lives. So every great dream, every great vision that you may have, every business venture, every development you want to do with your family, with your spouse, with your children, it's going to have difficult patches in the process. But don't give up because you're being tested in the moment on your road to something great. And that is so important for us not to give up in the middle of it. I read this story that absolutely blew me away. And everybody knows this character, Elon Musk. He is believed the richest man in the world. Come off and on, they move from the list off and on. I've never been on that list, so I don't know what that feels like. But, you know, they're switching turns there. And so he's the richest man in the world. He manages probably the top five companies in the world. I believe combined together across $1 trillion. It's just something crazy. But when he was starting Tesla and SpaceX, he was running out of money. He has sold PayPal, And so he was using his personal money from PayPal in order to generate funding for Tesla. They were developing the Tesla Roadster, which is the first car they made. It was kind of like a speedster car. It's really beautiful. And so they're making this car, and cars are not selling yet. Electric cars have not taken off. Things are not happening. And I believe the story goes that in 2008, the economy collapses, and he is about to lose the company. The company's going to go bankrupt, and he's going to miss the Christmas payroll for all his employees. Christmas of 2008, he's gonna miss payroll. He's sleeping in the under a desk in the factory. Everybody knows that part of the story. So the guy's giving it all he's got. So he calls his manager, his CEO, and said, hey, listen, I don't wanna miss payroll. Take everything I have, which was $40 million he had left in his bank account. Take everything I have and pay the payroll and let's see what happens. And from that day, I don't know what day that was, through December 26, on December 26, he was able to convince a few investors and a bunch of others to put money in the company because it was going to do well. And he convinced them, and I believe they injected an extra $100 and some million. And from there on, the story of Tesla took off because he took a risk and a dream that he had, and he pushed everything to the center of the table. He said, I'm going all in. A lot of times we look at somebody successful and we see their progress and we see, oh yeah, he had $40 million in the bank. Let me tell you, if you have $40 in the bank, you will not do it. But a lot of times we tend to see, oh, they did the great things. When you see the great things, you also have to look at the process of the testing to get to that point. Don't ignore the testing. Don't ignore the testing, because all great ventures, all great things that God wants to do with you will have a process of testing in your life. And this is what's happening with Joseph. God sends Joseph, as we read it together, I'll read it once again. Psalm 105 says that God sent Joseph to Egypt ahead of them, and Joseph was sold as a slave, and they bruised his feet with fetters, which is this metal thing that would grab your feet, and then they put an iron collar around his neck. I mean, this guy was tested, and you can read the word of God, I believe, starts in Genesis 39, I think, and goes all the way through Genesis 50, and so his life is there, and all the testing, I believe it was a total of 10 or so testing that he went through, from purity to prosperity to being faithful in servanthood to forgiveness. I mean, he went through all of it. Some theologians estimate around 17 years that he went through testing, from the moment he received the vision, sold as a slave, to the moment he becomes that great king or that great general manager or whatever you want to call it of Egypt. 17 years. Can I encourage you with something? Some of us have gone on in maybe months, maybe a year, maybe two, and we're ready to give up. Don't do that. Don't do that. You might be on your way to something beautiful. You might be on your way to complete fulfillment. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because even Jesus went through testing. And this is what's amazing about this. When we think about Jesus, who was perfect, why would God test perfection? And the reason he's doing it is because Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, and that portion of man needed to go through the process that you and I go to, because Hebrews says he experienced everything so that he can have compassion for you and for me in every area of our lives, so that he can show compassion. So he went through testing. He went through difficulties. Jesus is not ignoring your position. No, Pastor, you have no idea. He's never been through this. The Bible does not lie. He said he's felt it all. Oh, let that sink in. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 4, says, and Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. He was just baptized and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You're thinking, oh, it's good. I mean, Jesus has a calling. The Spirit is leading him to a greater vision. Now watch this, verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. It was God who hand-walked his own son into temptation and testing. Hello? It's quiet in this Baptist church today. It was God. And he did it because testing is important in order for us to reach fulfillment. And the Bible says that Jesus went through 40 days and 40 nights, no food, no water, in the desert. Very difficult circumstances. Then the devil comes and testing in the areas that you and I go through it. Testing him with power, testing him with provision, testing him to do his own thing, his own way. And Jesus always refuted with the word and overcame. Now I want you to see the result of testing. I love this. Luke mentions this. Luke 4:14 says, then Jesus returned after he was done with the testing. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. If you've ever seen a minister with power, I'm telling you they've been through testing. If you ever seen yourself exercise the power of God in an area, it's because you've been through testing. Testing is going to bring the power of God into your life. So if you're praying for power today, get ready to go through some things in order to have the power of God operate in your life in a greater way. Because what happens is we want the power, but we don't want the process. And you'll see that in the Word of God. Actually, the most famous was in the book of Acts. I don't have time to teach on it, but they were impressed with Paul and the disciples, and they wanted his power. And Paul said, no, you can't buy it. You're crazy. There's a price for this to be paid. And it's important for us to know that, because on the way to fulfillment, this is the process. Here's number two, is that the vision you have is the actual test. The vision or dream you have, that is the actual test. The test is not some external force that's coming your way. The test is not some problem that's coming your way. The test is not the ideas or the job or the dreams or the plans. The test is, how am I going to carry and maintain the God-given dream or vision? That is the testing. And what we tend to do is we tend to say, someone is removing me, someone is pushing me away, someone else is holding me back from what God wants to do, someone else, and God is saying, none of that. How are you holding what I'm giving you? How are you trusting what I'm giving you? How are you stewarding what I'm giving you? That is the test, my friend. That is the test. And a lot of times we become frustrated with it. I've been there. Oh, it's so-and-so that doesn't give me opportunity. So-and-so. And I realize it is however God manages. That is what he wants for me. Because in the end, it was God who sent Joseph to Egypt. No one else. You never see Joseph saying, because the slave traders brought me to Egypt, because we'll read it in a little bit, but you never see that. Joseph had a clear focus that he was managing a God-given vision and dream. Yeah. And I want to encourage you tonight that you don't lose focus on what God has given you, because otherwise you're blaming everyone else for something God has deposited in your heart, not in their hearts. And you ought to connect with God and say, God, what do you want from me? Now, that might bring testing. That might bring leadership helping you develop. That might bring some people. Yes, you might say, I don't have opportunities. Maybe God is using those things to develop something else in your life. Are you with me today? All of it adds up for your good. And it's so important for us to know that. Can I be honest with you? I have the privilege to be preaching here for a long time. But can you believe that when I was being developed as a leader in the church I came from, in the Dominican Republic, my pastor never allowed me to preach in the main service. And I was doing youth crusades. And when I left so frustrated. And you know what? Many years ago, I called him and I told him, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for the way you led my life. Thank you so much. Because I was a prideful dude. But I couldn't see it. But he did. He did. He saw my talent. He knew God had called me to preach. But he also saw my areas of weakness. I could be mad at him. You never gave me opportunities. I can't believe I'm not preaching in my home church. I can't believe I'm preaching somewhere else. And you don't give me opportunities here. I can't believe. This is what happened to me. Guess what? God was saying, there's some stuff in you, dude. We got to grind it out. But I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. And it's so important for us to see it. Why? Because the way I carry it is important. Psalm 105:19. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. That is what God wants to do. And I believe a lot of people may do some things for God, but may not do all that God wants for them because they're unwilling to fulfill the testing of their character. Because in the end, it is how you carry division. It is very, very important. The children of Israel were tested in how they carry the vision and the promise that God has given to them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're going to find Moses giving his last instructions. He's writing all these instructions before they go into the promised land. Now, Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land, but before they go in, he gives them a bunch of instructions. And in this instructions, he's giving them history. And he's saying, I want to tell you what's happening before you get famous. Before you get rich, I want to warn you, this is what's going to happen. My friends, God is so kind that he warned the children of Israel of what can happen when they become successful. And they still wouldn't listen. I mean, the children of Israel were a difficult bunch. Difficult bunch. I'm not going to say they're from San Bernardino, but they're from around here. Just kidding. They were a difficult bunch. They were a difficult bunch to manage. And so Moses is trying to give all these instructions. And I want you to read with me. Here's what he says. Deuteronomy 8, I just put it up there. Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verse 2 says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, that your God led you all the way these 40 years. So they've been through 40 years of testing. 40 years. There's even a crazier verse that says that the journey should have taken, I believe, 11 days, something like that. And it said it took them 40 years because they were just complicated. I don't want to be in the 40-year journey. I don't know about you, but find me a way to not do that, Lord. And so he's saying, 40 years in the wilderness. Watch this. Watch this. God did this to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your business account. To know where, what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And as pastors, my friend, as pastors, let me tell you something. This is one sad side of pastoring. We've seen so many people with potential do that. They go and their hearts drift away. And when they get there, then they lose it all. Because God wanted to know, when you get there, will you keep my commandments? When you get there, will you continue to love me and serve me? When you get there, will you continue to be humble in the process? It is so crucial for us to have that kind of heart. That when you get there, you don't forget what God brought you from. That you can sit one day and say, by the grace of God, Pastor, I can't believe I'm here. I love Pastor Brian says that all the time with testimony. He says, I should have been dead. Yet I have this opportunity of life. You cannot forget those situations in your life. And just to say, God, I know where I should have been. I cannot believe my eyes that I'm here. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you've been in failed relationships. Finally, you have the wife or the husband you've been praying for. Then tell the Lord, thank you, Lord. I can't believe that I'm at where I'm at. I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to love my wife and push through. Maybe you've been praying for a job this whole time, and all of a sudden the job comes. It's not perfect. You're being tested. But I want you to do something tomorrow morning and say, thank you, Lord, that this is the job you provide. I'm so grateful that you've put this in my hands today. So until I'm in my process, I will say thank you for this one. Thank you for this one. Something shifts in you when you do that. Something changes in your thought process when you start evaluating life in a different way. You say, you know what? That's different. I'm gonna do it in a different way because God is going to test your heart. Why? Why? Because God wanted to know if the dream was the idol or if they wanted to worship the dream giver. That's what he wanted to know. And a lot of times we make the process, we make the idea, we make what we want, the idol. And a lot of times that is what becomes difficult. I've seen it in families where people have been praying for a child for years and the child comes and the child becomes the idol and the center of every affection. And we have to love our children and love the one child you pray for a long time, but you cannot forget loving your God and raising your children in the ways of the Lord. It doesn't change. The commandment doesn't change just because you arrived at the promised land. The commandment, God is saying, I'm going to give you this, but when I give you this, I want to make sure that you don't forget in your heart everything I've done for you. Why? Because ultimately, testing is not about punishment. Testing is about refinement. God is trying to work in your life to make you a better way. So don't miss God because of your God-given dream. I'll repeat it so you don't miss it. Don't miss God because of your God-given dream. Because there's a lot of people doing things for God or think they're doing it for God, but they actually have no relationship with God. And those are two different things. Two different things. And we got to be careful not to land there. Last one for tonight. Are you still there? Yeah. Ushers are about to serve coffee in a minute just to get you going. Just kidding. Here's the last one. Testing is proof of dependency. Testing is proof of dependency. When you are tested, God is trying to figure out, can you trust me? When you are tested, God is trying to figure out, can you trust me? And this is very important because we are either going to do it our way or God's way. And a lot of times we want to do it our way because we want to force the timing of the process in our lives. And I tell you, from one who's had seasons of wilderness in my life, because every Christian goes through them, this is the part where it becomes really difficult in the testing. Because wilderness is dry, is difficult, parched, hunger happens, spiritually speaking, all these situations are happening. And all God is doing is, I haven't forgotten about you, but I'm working some things out in you. That's the word. I haven't forgotten about you, but I'm working some things out in you. And you have to repeat that to yourself constantly, because the enemy constantly is going to remind you that you're not worth it, that you're not good, that God forgot about you, that you did something so horrible he can never use you in any other way possible. The enemy is incredible to bring in those things. But God going to fulfill his will through your life as long as you remain connected to God. Even Samson, the Bible says that this guy who became a reprobate, now I don't want you to become a reprobate, God doesn't want you to, but he's there and he said, God, if you give me one last chance, I know I messed up, but if you give me one last chance, I will do what you call me to do. The Bible says that on that day, he wiped out more Philistines than he ever did in his entire life. Now, that's not the trajectory God wants for your life, but what I'm saying is God will accomplish his will one way or another. I just want to be part of the process the right way. I want to accomplish the will of God in my life the right way. Complete the testing the right way to do what God wants me to do in every area of my life. So Joseph did something that a lot of times happened, because while we wait for the process to be developed in our life, it doesn't mean you're static. It doesn't mean you know anything. You keep working, you keep serving, you can do it until God reveals these things in your life. And Joseph was doing that. So then Joseph gets to a point that, I believe it's in Genesis 40, we'll read a little bit in a minute, but Joseph gets to a point where everybody finds out, hey, this guy's amazing. He's managing the prison. The guy's just shining everywhere he goes because of the goodness of God in his life. He's passed so many testing. So two people that used to work for Pharaoh come into prison, and they found out that Joseph is a dream interpreter. They have two dreams. I'm not going to tell you how long, you can read it, right? They have two dreams, the cupbearer and the baker of the palace come into prison because they did something dumb and they're locked up, right? And so Joseph interprets the dreams, tells the dream to the cupbearer and say, hey, things are going to be good for you. Are you going back to your job? Tells the baker, hey, man, you're dead tomorrow. Right? So the guy's like, man, I don't like whatever you interpreted, you know, and so he gets all mad, but Joseph is true to honoring God's word. So everything goes great, except one thing. Joseph goes to the guy and says, hey, listen, guys, since I did something good for you, don't forget me when you go back to Pharaoh. And we do that all the time. We try to fix our situation by doing or bringing the solution our way. Joseph, he could have been Latino. He's like, you know, cousin so-and-so, he's going to figure it out for me, so I'm going to call cousin so-and-so. Instead of saying, is God telling you to call your cousin? It's quiet around here. Some of you called a cousin yesterday. Hold on. So we're trying to fix things our way, and God is saying, no, no, no. So Joseph goes, hey, man, when you up there, tell him about me. Tell him, you know, I'm a good dude. Look everything I'm doing here. I'm a good guy. So I can get out of here. I can't fault Joseph for it. But here's what God discovered. Joseph, your heart is not ready. And this is a part of the story that breaks me, but also encourages me in a profound way. Let's read it together. Genesis 40, 21, 23 says, he then restored, so this is what happened after Joseph suffered. He then restored, talking about Pharaoh, the cupbearer to his former position so he could again hand Pharaoh his cup. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted his dreams. Let me say it this way. Joseph did nothing wrong, church. He actually was an amazing minister. He did his job, which is he receives interpretations from the Lord, and he told them a prophetic interpretation. The guy did nothing wrong except for one thing. He wanted to do God's will his way. So Pharaoh returns them all. And the Bible says in verse 23, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. And that's probably what your cousin did yesterday. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what happened. But a lot of times that's what happens. You're counting on someone else and you're like, man, these people are so terrible. They did this, whatever. And so a lot of times we tend to forget. But here's the saddest part is chapter 41, we're not going to read today, says this. It starts by saying this. 2 years later. Wait, Pastor, what are you telling me? This guy's been through testing for 15 plus years. He does something good. And then he's like, hey, man, I did something good for you. Can you do something good in return for me? And the Bible says that God tucked him away 2 more years. Yeah. Whew. But God is so kind. Because in the end, what God is doing is, Joseph, I got you. Yeah. I need you to know that it's me who's going to get it done for you. I got you, Joseph. But you have to know that in here. You ought to know that in there. And I believe those 2 years, the Bible doesn't give, I believe those 2 years, I think Joseph finally dealt with that reality, because there's no word of Joseph other than 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And the cupbearer goes, you know what? There's a guy in prison who told me everything I've dreamt. Let's call him. Let's call him. And this is what's crazy, that Bible says that Pharaoh went and got him and put him in the great position that he's at. And I want to end with these two things. I want to close out with these two things. In Genesis 50 tells us that Joseph went on from chapter 41 to chapter 50. You see Joseph do great things. He saved the nation, saved Israel, saved his family. All kinds of great stuff Joseph did, because God put him in the place he was supposed to be. He's restored. He's an amazing man of God. He does all kinds of things. Then Joseph has to come face to face with the people that hated him the most. And that is where testing reaches its pinnacle. What would you do with the power you've been given against the people that hurt you the most? Because that is the pinnacle of fulfillment. Jesus reached the pinnacle of fulfillment. He said, God, these people don't know what they're doing. Don't take it into account. And chapter 50, we found Joseph with his brothers, all freaking out because they feel this guy's going to kill us all. And he could have. He's the most powerful man on earth other than Pharaoh. Verse 20, but as for you, tells his brother, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Whatever you're going through is not for you, but it is for the purposes of God to do something great through you for many people to come. That's what he's doing. And that's what he's working in your life. So don't get frustrated in the process of testing that you find yourself today. Because if you endure, there's a crown for you. James 1:12, and I'll close with this. If I can ask Chris to help me. James 1:12 says this. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And in the end, it's all going to be good for you. God is doing this for your good and my good. Yeah, you can give God a praise for it. That's what he's doing. He's working in us. Let's pray together. Right where you at? If you find yourself discouraged, frustrated in the road of testing, you're saying, God, I know I'm on my way to something good, but somehow I can't reach that in my life. Would you give God right now a moment and let him speak to you? Let him clarify the thought in your life and in your heart. Let him crystallize this idea. I don't know where you're at on this road. Maybe you thought, man, I didn't think I would have this many difficulties. Now you have to settle your heart and find God. Maybe you understood the difficulties, but you feel, God, this is going on for so long. for so long, and you become battle weary. You become road tired. Ask God for strength today. Tell him, God, strengthen me. I want to continue on the road you have me on to fulfillment. Let him speak to you today. Let him speak to you today. Maybe you've placed a dream as the idol. And so everything is about fulfilling this thing, fulfilling this thing, fulfilling this thing, when in reality, God should be the center of everything you do. And he'll bring the fulfillment you're looking for. Maybe you need to go back to that. Not ignoring the dream, but receiving more from God as he works out the details in your life. Thank you, Lord. Father God, whatever you've spoken to your people today, I pray that you would solidify that word in their hearts and in their mind, that they may find you and seek you with all their hearts and all their mind, so that as we're on the road of testing, God, may we reach fulfillment, the fulfillment you have for us. And I pray that you would start doing that in everyone's life, Lord God, because they're your children. So do that today. Guide us today. Strengthen us today, Holy Spirit, as we walk your dream for our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. You've got to praise. Thank you, Lord. How awesome. Thank you, Jesus. If you give me a few more minutes, in a moment we'll go, but I want to make sure your heart is all right with God and that you actually reach the greatest dream that God has for you, which is that you be with him in paradise. That's what Jesus told that thief that was next to him. He was crucified and says, hey, you'll be with me in paradise. That is really God's desire. He wants to spend eternity with his children. But to get there, a lot of times we have all kinds of crazy concepts. We have crazy concepts in our society. One of the main concepts that we have in society is that good people go to heaven. And there's no verse, not one whatsoever that says that good people go to heaven. It doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. So I want to make sure that you remain focused as we talk about this, because this is about your eternal life. This is where your condition of your soul. So there is no such thing that you can do. If you could do it for yourself, then God would allow you. Why would God send his only begotten son to die on a cross if you can improve yourself enough to earn salvation and eternity? You can't. We need Jesus. We desperately need Jesus. And that is the ultimate fulfillment. It is that our heart and our lives are governed, directed by Jesus. But a lot of people freak out in our society because they call that, listen, don't get distracted. They call that this very important, born again. And being born again is to give God all of your heart and all of your life and to make him the leader of your life, the leader of your soul, the leader of your spirit, the leader in every area. And you might get tested in some areas, but in the end, God wants the best for you. And that's why he sent his only begotten son. And that is the Christian way. That is the Christian life, to give God all of your heart and all of your soul. And all begins with a great decision, a decision that you would do today, or maybe you've done at some point, but your life did not follow what decision or what words you say. And in a moment, we'll pray together in this building. We'll ask Jesus, and I'm going to ask you to take a bold step this very day, because Jesus, listen, Jesus did not die in a private room in the back of a house. He died publicly, humiliated for you, because he loves you. And because you need him. And today that is the decision you make. You're making a public decision saying, God, I am not ashamed of you. I am in need of you. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to do that. This is how we do it. I count to three. I clap my hand. And when you hear that clap, you raise your hand right where you're sitting. You raise your hand, indicating and saying, Pastor, that's me. I want to do that prayer. And we'll do that prayer together, because the Bible says that we confess with our mouth and we believe with our heart, and something new begins that day. But it begins with a decision. And you may say, Pastor, I may be embarrassed in raising my hand, man, and going and praying. I'm not sure I want to do that. The enemy wants to convince you. Listen. The enemy wants to convince you that a moment of embarrassment is better than eternity with God. That is a lie of the devil. And you ought to believe it for yourself. But he's saying, I don't want people to play religion with me. Hey, God, check me out. I went to church. Sign me up. I'll be back for Christmas. You don't want that. You want people saying, I'm in need of Christ, and I want to give him all my heart and all my life. If that's you, today is your day of salvation. If you've never done this prayer, in a moment, when you raise your hand, we'll pray together. You let me know. You put your hand right back down. How about this? If you did the prayer, Pastor, I've done that prayer, but your life did not follow that, would you confess? Let us help you. Begin once again today. How about this? God speaking to you tonight. The Bible says that when you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart. That is the moment God wants to start something new in your life. And it begins with a decision. I did it. Many of us did at some point. I don't know if you're in that category today, but I want to give you that opportunity. Even from your home, we can pray in a minute. I count to three. You raise your hand and we pray together. Ready? Ready? One, two, and three. That's you tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hand there. That's awesome. Didn't embarrass them, won't embarrass them. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. I see you there. Absolutely. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There, a hand over there. Yes, God bless you. Four. Yeah, bring your child. It's okay. God says bring the children. That's five, six. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? It's your moment of salvation. I see that. Oh, yeah, I see you. God bless you. Number seven, you can put your hand down. How beautiful. God is so good. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else other than those hands I see over there? It's your moment to say, hey, I'm not ashamed. I am in need of Christ. And he begins today. They're pointing me this way. Let me see. Wave at me if I don't see you with my funky glasses. Oh, this way. Yeah, yeah. I think I saw him earlier. Pretty sure. Yeah, yeah, I saw him earlier today. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Wave at me. Oh, I see you. I see you. God bless you. Yes. Thank you. I need a neon sign for my new glasses. Beautiful. Can we give God a praise for those beautiful souls? That's awesome, man. Thank you, Lord. Hey, in a moment, we're going to do this together. Even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know God's speaking to you, we're all going to stand. When we're all stand, don't leave anything in your seat. Grab your purse, sweater, Bible, everything in a friend, and come join us for prayer today. Right now, make your way. Let's greet them today as we stand. As we stand, you're so brave. Nothing weird is going to go on. We're going to pray together, and we're going to encourage you in a moment. It's your moment of salvation. God wants to meet you today. And it all begins with a decision. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Good job, guys. That's awesome. We'll wait for you. Make your way. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Even if you didn't raise your hand and you know, hey, God's speaking to me. I got to make my way there. It's your moment of salvation. Don't put them off. We're going to pray together and then we're going to do this together. God bless you. Good job. Good job, family. Good job. God is so good. It's your moment of salvation. Even if you did raise your hand, you know, God's speaking to me. This is your moment. We'll pray together in just a second here. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Make your way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Absolutely. There's time. There's time. Make your way. Yeah. Yeah, we got time. You can wait. Thank you. Thank you. Man, all of you guys, what an amazing decision. You have no idea how impactful this is. I was a young boy when I did it, and I never regretted it. It changed the trajectory of my family, of my life. And today you're saying yes to Jesus. You're not saying yes to me. You're not even saying yes to the church, even though we want to help you in the process of growing in Christ. But first of all, you're saying yes to Jesus. And that's what we're doing today. All of us, the church today, we're going to agree with you. Let's pray together. Repeat after me. These are not magic words. God is seeing the honesty of your heart. But let's repeat together. Say, Father God, I invite you into my heart and I ask you to forgive me my sins, the wrongdoings I've committed against you. But this day, I want to commit my life to serve you. From this day and until eternity, I am your servant. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Be the leader of my life from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on. Awesome. Listen, one of our pastors, Pastor Joel, my friend, he's gonna give you some information. He's gonna help you get strong in the things of God. And then you can go right back out. But hear him out because we wanna make you strong. We wanna help you in this process. Remember, there's a process here, road to fulfillment. He's gonna talk about the beginning of that road starts today. And it's going to be awesome. So follow him, get that information, and be right back. We love you. We want to see you again in church. That's awesome. Come on, give God a praise for their lives. It's incredible. We're grateful for you. Man, never gets old. Never gets old. God is so faithful. I tell you, I don't want to keep you long, but I'll keep you long anyways. No, I'm just kidding. When I came, I just remembered all these things because it's been 20-some years since I got to this church, and I was just remembering today. But one of the things my wife and I talked about when we came, it was always seeing people get saved. And that was the one thing that made us come back. And we loved the word. We loved the worship. Everything was great. But every time the altar call came, I cried. And I've been a Christian, I mean, almost my entire life. But every time, my wife and I looked at each other like, why are we crying? This is ridiculous. We're not even getting saved. Why are we crying? But we understood that God does something so beautiful when people get saved. And you can never take it for granted. Never take it for granted. God is at work. Let me bless you tonight. Would you raise your hand right where you're at? Father God, thank you so much. These are your children. I bless them from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. May they be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Blessed coming and going, that everything they put their hand to, it will prosper. And we say with faith about our Inland Empire that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock, where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.